I am so thankful that my kids are older now, because when they were little, one of the things they loved to do to their mother is they would come up to her and they'd go, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mother, Mom, 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 Mother, Mom, Mom." She's like, "What?" "Hi." You still do that, Joshua? I haven't heard that in a while. I wonder about this, because there's times that we, I don't know if it's our God-given right to annoy our parents. Is it? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's our God-given right to annoy our parents, but I'm really good at that, I think. But I'm curious, do you ever wonder if you annoy God? Do you ever wonder when, especially, obviously, the times that we pray most often and most fervently and most persistently is when things are going wrong in our life, do you ever feel like God is tired of hearing from you? Do you ever feel like a pest or a bother? I've actually heard people say this. I really do. It's almost like, God, I know that there's like hunger in Africa. There's probably some black hole somewhere that I don't see that's wreaking havoc somewhere. We got water issues. We got all these things, and I'm bothering you because I'm sick and need help with my finals this week. I think that sometimes that could creep into our way of thinking, that we are bothering God. Yet I see this, that for those people that have this, now I admit, I'm probably not one of those people. I don't know what it is in me, but I'm one who hates to bother other people. So much so that my wife gets very angry at me at times. I'll be in the drive-thru at the Starbucks, and as we pull up, usually Heather has some trash, and she'll say, "Here, hand this to the barista so that they may throw it away." How many of you do this? Does anyone do this? No one does. Oh, Jackie, thank you. Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, come on. And I look at her, I'm like, "But why don't we just throw it away ourselves?" And Heather says, "Well, they've got a trash too. Why not just give it to them, and now our place is clean?" Now, Heather is, to me, the queen of, and it sounds weird, and I don't know how to say it in a more positive way, but she almost has no shame. You know what I'm talking about? But in a good way. Like, we go to Disneyland. Years ago, some friends of ours came from Colorado, Hoppin' Rass and Fetz. Yeah, and we're there, and we're getting ready for the 9 o'clock Main Street. It's the fireworks, and they got this beautiful thing. And it's really tough because you have to get there usually about 3 days in advance to get a seat to actually see this thing. And so Heather, she sees that there's this one area, and it's got all of these seats. Everyone else is standing along the route, and they got ropes and stuff, and then there's these chairs. And Heather says, "We're going to go sit in those chairs." And I say, "No, those are like reserved for important people." She's like, "I'm going to go ask." I'm like, "It's not going to work. I don't even know why you're going to bother them." She tootles off. 5 minutes later, she says, "All right, yeah, come on up here." And our whole party, which was, I don't know, 8 or 9 people, we ended up ducking these ropes and "Oh, we're so glad you're here," you know, in a Disneyland loving, "Oh, we're so great. And oh, here, take these seats right here." And I'm like, "What? I'm so glad I told you to go and ask them for those seats." Yeah. Yes, you work for a good company, Jackie. I'd greatly appreciate the. Heather has no shame in asking for stuff. I think that I'm probably just the opposite, which is why I don't think I ever bother God, because I usually only bother him with really important stuff. But the problem is that what God wants? No. I think that we're going to see in this story these two people who are going to ask for a lot. And I love it because I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure that while this is going on, Jesus has a smile on his face, because I think Jesus I wouldn't say is playing a trick on them, but Jesus is messing with them a little bit. All right, here we go. Verse 27, chapter 9, Matthew 9, 27. You all there? As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him. Which, you know, isn't that a great thing? Like, they're not, I don't know, I guess they might have had sticks. But the best part about it is they're not just like trying to feel their way around. What are they also doing? They're screaming, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Oh, it's the other way around. I'm sure it was one of those. I'm sure it was repetitive. Can you just see this? Here's Jesus. He's walking away, and there's these two guys, and they're yelling out, "Son of David, son of..." Son of David! You want me to start walking that way? Okay, I'm going to start walking. Son of David! And they're screaming at him. And the interesting thing is, Jesus doesn't turn around. It's almost as if he's ignoring them. And I love Jesus. Jesus rocks. Because look at what happens with the next verse. Did Jesus turn around? Did Jesus acknowledge them? No, what did he do? He goes inside. Like, here's two blind people trying to get Jesus' attention, and Jesus goes inside the house. Like, oh. And the blind, like, "Where'd he go? Gee, son of Dave, where'd he go?" Inside. Because at this point now, if I were the blind man, I probably would have said, "We tried. You know, just didn't work." But these blind men have the spirit of Heather within them. This is the spirit that says, "Am I going to give up?" Oh, absolutely not. These two guys go on hot pursuit. I don't know if they're bumping into things. I don't know if they've got friends like guiding them. But Jesus goes indoors and the blind men come to him. So they're like crashing through doors. "Jesus, son of David!" They are desperate to get his attention, and I love it because finally, somehow or other, they're now in the same room, in the same proximity, and Jesus looks at them and asks them a very important question. "What do you want?" Maybe not in that fashion, probably a lot more graciously. "What do you want?" Oh, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They haven't even made a request yet. They haven't even asked, "Will you heal my blindness?" This is one of those great things, the mysteries of prayer, which I still haven't quite figured out. When we make a prayer request, does God already know the prayer request before we even make the prayer request? Yes, so then why do we ask? Why don't we just sit there and say, "God, you already know what I need"? Because God says, yes, I already know, but still, ask. Still come to me. Still scream and yell out. So here, Jesus is not bothered. If you are one who thinks you are bothering God by making requests, you are not. These people went in hot pursuit and never left him alone. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" It's a question I think we've answered a million times. Bears answering again. Is God able to heal any sickness? Is God able to heal any disease? Can God cure AIDS? Can God cure cancer? Can God cure cancer on a global scale or on an individual scale? Both. God is able. And this is where these people are really kind of struggling with it because they're blind. And it wasn't that they went blind. The inference on this is that they've been blind since birth. I was shocked when I read this. I'd never heard this, but then I double-checked it myself. Do you realize that if you scour the Old Testament, you will not find one instance of God healing a blind person? I looked. Now, there's tons of passages, especially in Isaiah, that talks about the servant of the Lord is going to come, and the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and the dead will be raised back to life. And there's other times when he talks about, you know, your eyes will be opened and the blind will see. I'm curious, as the Old Testament people lived during that time, wondering, well, we haven't even seen this, which is why this became one of the three markers of the Messiah. The Old Testament people had never seen it. And that's the reason why three miracles that only the Messiah could perform. I've talked about this before. Let's see how well you've listened over the years. One of them is healing a person born blind. What's the other two? Does anyone remember? What was that? Turn water into wine? No. Casting demons out that are mute. Wait a second. What's happening a little bit later on? Oh, it's going to be interesting. And then the other one is curing a person with leprosy. So those are the three things that they said, if the Messiah can perform these, if a dude shows up on the scene and starts performing these miracles, then we all better listen to him. And this is what makes it interesting of how people are going to respond to it. Because essentially you respond to Jesus in one of two ways. You're either going to celebrate and go, this is fantastic,